This is Call with Dad's podcast, where today's issues, concerns, and joys of being a dad are discussed, with your hosts E.A. Maynard and Mr. Pancake sharing their views, experiences, and all things they know. Join the journey with us. Welcome to Call with Dads, more than a podcast or a website, but your home for a community of dads who want to be better. Now let's get started.
Well, there's a whole nother lesson there to be taught. So, all right. So how about we start jumping into this a bit and see where it leads us? I mean, instead of just going nuts on other people, which seems to be easy because obviously I don't think either any of us are very big fans of the gentle parenting person I've spoken with before, which I'm not going to go too much detail on here about that anymore at this point, but just people should know you need to raise your kids right. But with that being said, it actually goes to kind of what we're talking about today, about facing your mistakes. And Trent, I see your list as Trenton. Trent is what I see online. What do you prefer to go by? What is your story? Let people know a bit about yourself, because if I rant about you, I might just rant wrong and go all weird and who knows, but you should be able to get into this more if you would.
Yeah, so feel free to call me Trent. That's kind of what I prefer to be called, I guess, by people in conversation less than Trenton F. Cole is my formal full name. So that's my birth name, I suppose. That's kind of more recently I've wanted to like kind of lean into that a little bit more using my full name. But Trent is perfectly fine. I pretty much started doing online stuff, I guess. I kind of got, I don't want to say I got tired of, but people are asking me for life advice in a very various forms over the last couple years. And I was pretty anti social media. And then I came upon a post one day that somebody had mentioned, you know, like, what's all the advice that you give to people in your life that people online might enjoy or even pay you for? And that kind of resonated with me. And not really getting paid for my advice yet, per se, but I just thought it would be good to start putting it out there for other people to enjoy, because the reality is a lot of the people in my life weren't really paying much heed to it anyways. So giving them all this free advice for nothing and no results. So I guess that's kind of, I was anti-social media, and now I kind of see, I fell into like this whole Datasphere thing that, you know, you guys are a part of, and, you know, fell into following a bunch of like-minded guys. And I kind of realized that there is some benefit out there to social media, as long as you're following the right people and getting the right advice from the right people. And I just wanted to be a part of that.
Well, that sounds good. And you also just put out a book too. In fact, you have it above your head right now. So real quick, if you would promote your book real quick, let everyone know what your book's about and where they can find it. And that way it makes it easier so we can discuss topics from that and facing our mistakes and becoming better because of it.
Yeah. So I wrote this book. It's a pretty raw conversational book. My goal was to make it not boring. So basically, if you're reading this book, it'd be like if I had the mic and was talking to you for whatever, an hour, 2 hours. I don't know how fast you read, but you know, maybe 4 hours straight.
Very slow.
You know, it'd be like me just brain dumping all of my advice that I would give to people. I wrote it with my kids in mind. Hopefully someday they will pick that up and read it, and it'll be good advice for them. But at the end of the day, I just wanted it to not be boring, and I wanted to primarily hit on the meat of it is about delayed gratification in the five primary facets, what I consider the five primary facets of life, which are faith, family, finances, fitness, and friends. So that's like kind of the meat of it. But I go into more tactics and specific things that I do in my life, as well as just sharing general advice that you could apply in multiple ways in your life.
All right. So let's start digging into the fact of the main reason that we kind of connected and what interested me in talking with you a bit was the fact of I'm very big on facing up to your mistakes. You do something wrong, big, little, whatever it is, and you have a very strong focus on that as well of not just pushing your mistakes to the past, not just saying, oh, well, that's it was what it was. To me, like, even if I'm running late and I'm telling my son, I've done this before when I've mentioned on here that when the time changed, I didn't pay attention, blah, blah, blah. And my son was like, oh, is it my fault? I'm like, no, daddy messed up. Daddy didn't realize time changed. Let's get around. I'll take care of everything. We'll make it to church just in time before we make a big scene of coming in the door as pastors talking, all that stuff. To the fact of I've made huge mistakes in my life that has affected me in many different ways than I even realize. And I try to address that as well. And one thing I'm noticing a lot in society, at least it appears this way to me, that I'm noticing people, they just throw all this, it's not my fault, or I made this mistake because so-and-so, or all these different things. It's the world to me is starting to seem more as my mistakes are not my problem or not my fault or not my responsibility. And it's almost like because I feel a certain way, I shouldn't take responsibility of this. And how I was raised was you make a mistake, you suffer the punishment. If that's cleaning something, if that, trust me, I grew up in the country where my mom knew farmers, and I remember once having to clean up cow manure. And I ended up losing one, because me being a young, dumb kid, wore flip-flops when I was doing it, and let's just say it didn't come out pretty, but, or at least I didn't. To the fact of, like we were discussing earlier, I said, if I back-talked my mom or I said a curse word or something inappropriate, I knew what every bar and liquid soap in the house tasted like. And that's what I was raised at. And I'm trying to raise my kids as well to, you make a mistake, you need to know there's going to be consequences if that's losing privileges, being smacked on the butt, being put to your room, no anything, no book, no story, whatever it is, you know, I mean, life's consequence, there's consequences in life. So help me understand where you're coming from with this, because to me, I think that's a very big thing that as dads, we need to face and need to learn to be better at.
Yeah. So there's been over the last couple of years, probably, there's been quite a bit of like victim mentality going around, you know, that's been on the rise. And the fact is that mistakes are the single best way for you to learn and grow as a person. When you make mistakes and you overcome those mistakes, own up to them and learn from them, that's how you're really going to find success. You're going to make both your character and your reliability are going to shoot through the roof if you're able to own up to those mistakes. And as you said, showing that to your kids as well, saying like, you know, daddy messed up on this. Or I think of like, let's say you maybe automatically blame your kid for doing something, whatever, like there's a puddle in the kitchen and you're like, hey, what happened? Why did you spill it? Like whatever, you start, maybe you start yelling at them, maybe you don't, but you blame them to start off with. And they're like, it wasn't me. And you're like, I know it was you. Nobody else is here. Well, then it's like ice just fell out of the fridge or something like that and made a puddle.
Right.
You go back to your kid and apologize for them and say, you know, daddy made a mistake. You know, now that's obviously something small potatoes, but that's kind of an example of something where you show your kids that owning up to your mistakes isn't, you know, being honest. I mean, being honest and owning up to your mistakes is not the worst thing in the world. It actually might be the best thing and probably something this world needs more of.
Oh, I agree with that. Yeah. So,
yeah, it was something one lady told me. We were kind of, when we first started working with my daughter, you know, when almost letting also, you know, in my own mistakes and let it, you know, owning up to my own mistakes as well, but letting my kid when she's young make mistakes. Because when she makes the mistake of writing, like, say she's writing her her bicycle in, you know, the driveway or whatever, and she wants to do something silly. Say she doesn't want to wear her elbow and knee pads. Let her have it, you know. Let her do it, because when she eats dirt or eats asphalt or concrete or whatever, and she scuffs her knee up, be like, are you going to wear your knee pads now? And from that point on, you know, she's probably going to wear them knee pads. You know what I mean? So, but I mean, granted, in a lot of people's mind, all you fixed was her wearing her knee pads, but you didn't. You showed her a way now for in the future to maybe and stop and think about what she does prior to doing it. You know what I mean? So she told us, let them make the small mistakes so they don't make the big ones. So.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
And if you told, I mean, even if you told your daughter once to wear the knee pads or whatever, and she didn't listen, then at least also you have the benefit of being like, okay, maybe dad knows what he's talking about a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's our jobs as fathers, though, is to let our, like, we let our kids, our, maybe, obviously I'm generalizing here, but I think mothers are supposed to protect them from their mistakes, and fathers are supposed to let them make their mistakes and pick them back up when they fall.
Right.
Guide them into the mistake correctly so they don't end up cutting their head off or something.
None of that. No cutting heads off.
Too much. Going to the extreme on accident, because that was probably my fault. I, like, as soon as I was 15, I was like, sweet, dirt bike, right into a car. And that probably could have been solved by doing a few things when I was younger. Maybe learning that I probably shouldn't do that stuff, you know, and also in a way, you know, now when she was younger and scuffed her knee, you know, you could also teach her to own up to her mistake of not wearing, hey, you know, what did I tell you about those knee pads, right? You know, and you kind of almost get her to own up to her own mistake of deciding. So you decided not to own up or not to wear your knee pads, right? That was a decision you made, even though I told you not to, right? And yeah, you can get them to kind of own up to it. So they also kind of learn that factor right there as well in the same situation. So
now, you know, one thing that's coming to my mind is from just listening to this is also the fact of my son is as stubborn headed as my wife and I are. And, you know, if any kid that has that much stubbornness in them and what so have you is just doomed to make me completely gray or bald, one of the two. But the fact is I can tell him something 30,000 times. And I think there's been times in one night that I've said, stop playing, brush your teeth. Stop playing, brush your teeth. Put that down, brush your teeth. Like for quite some time. And literally it's one of those things that they don't always listen to what we say. So stopping them from making the mistakes and like in my kind of my thinking is letting my son know, hey, you make mistakes. It's okay. Make the mistake. You can say, I'm sorry, I made this mistake, but try to learn from your mistake. Don't just say, oh, well, I made a mistake. I'm going to do it again later because I forgot that I even made it. And letting them like ride the bike and fall down and scrape their elbows and knees. Like I let my kid do all sorts of stupid stuff just because, one, he's a boy and I'm expecting him to do stupid stuff. So I figure if he does it while I'm watching, at least I can run him to the hospital if need be. But he doesn't do stuff that crazy yet, but he's only six. Yeah. But when he becomes a teenager, that might be a whole nother subject. But the fact is he's learning different things. He's learning all these things from the mistakes he makes to the successes that he figured out from the mistakes, and me calling out, hey, I've done this. This was my mistake. This is what I make up. And as he gets older, I'm going to be more upfront with him about the mistakes I made in my past, because I realize personally, I think back about the different things, like my biological father is, if you ask him, he was perfect, never made a mistake, never did anything wrong. My stepdad, I remember multiple times him and I sitting on our front porch and drinking a cup of coffee, and he'd tell me, yeah, man, I did this stupid thing when I was younger, or you need to watch out for this type of girl because I dated this one girl and, oh, man. So different things like that to be able to, and a lot of that's what helped me f- form my way of thinking, because I could say, my stepdad told me about crazy girls like that. I've dated them just because he also mentioned they were fun at the time.
It's true.
I also didn't marry any of them either. But the fact is you learn all these different things from your parents' mistakes. And I think, like I said, I had both extremes in my life of my biological father. I never made a mistake. I never did this. If I found out about it, then I was wrong. I heard it wrong, whatever. My stepdad told me straightforward, told me the crazy things he did, the stupid things he did, the fun things he did, and then told me, just don't get caught if I can help it. And, you know, that was a big thing that, like I said, you have to be able to talk about your mistakes. And like I said, part of your thing, Trent, is facing and dealing with your mistakes so you can be better. I think that is a tool for dads to do as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And like I was talking about the victim mentality earlier, and mm-hmm. you know, everybody wants to like run out and get therapy and stuff for their daddy issues and all that, and I think there is a time and a place for that at some point in time for some people. But whatever happened to learning from our forefathers, you know, like none of our dads are infallible. I mean, I doubt, at least I would say I have like three father figures. I have the same situation as you, biological stepdad and probably my grandpa. They all have alcohol management problems. So we'll call it that, you know? So, and, you know, learning from that, you know, you can learn from those things instead of using them as something to play the victim card. I think that will in turn make you a better father. You can think about, hey, maybe I should, you know, wait till after the kids go to bed or whatever.
Right.
And I think that so often people are quick to turn and be like, my life was so bad because of these things or whatever. And
my problems were.
And you could, you know, you can be a better person in spite of them or even because of them. So.
Yeah. I actually did. Now that you're actually talking about the people going to therapy and all that stuff, I actually did a short piece on therapy and all that stuff like recently, you know, and I did a couple of videos. I think I did an article or two and stuff, and I posted about it a bunch because I did some research, and a lot of it is actually quite sinister, mm-hmm. like therapists and all this stuff and what they do. Because I watch the Joe Rogan podcast every now and again. One of the guests that he was talking to was discussing it and talking about it. And they were talking about the statistics of it all from, it was like 2016 to 2020, the number of underage like youths and children that had mental health issues and so on and so forth was like jumped from like 4% to like 40% in just those like 4 years. And they were saying they did like a short analysis of the mental health, you know, industry, where a lot of these mental health therapists and professionals or all this stuff are, I mean, I guess in a way, not purposely, but maybe kind of purposely doing it on purpose. So she was the lady on the guest was discussing rumination, you know, essentially sitting around and discussing your problems all the time, essentially makes it worse, just mm-hmm. consistently worse. And that's essentially their goal. She explained that if you go to majority of these places and these mental health therapy clinics and whatever else, and they won't even take as a patient somebody would like actual bipolar schizophrenia. I mean, because the potential for them to, you know, go nuts or hurt somebody in the session or freak out or even somebody with like severe PTSD or something, you know, they won't take these people because of the potential dangers. Now, what they do take and they strive to take more of is, you know, the 15, 16-year-old kid that has some anxiety issues, a little bit of, you know, personal issues and identity issues, and a mom or dad who's willing to pay. You know, they pay on time, they come into the sessions, they're calm, the collective, they sit and listen and do their thing, and they just slowly, progressively get worse. You know, so they just keep coming back. It's just a steady paycheck. You know, it's just, yeah, that's just bad. And
you mentioned it earlier too about like experience versus authority, and it's like, I'm not like a, I'm a religious person, but not over, I'm not like gonna evangelize anybody, but like listening, like people used to take their problems to like their 60 or 70 year old pastor, and now they're taking them to their 30, maybe 40 year old therapist who has a degree that says I can discuss these things with whatever, instead of somebody who's lived their life in a certain way and probably made mistakes and learned from
some college or university that is funded by our political system, whether it be left or right, and for the most part left, but you know, the Democrats seem to own a lot of the colleges and universities these days. But you know, yeah, somebody who was educated by a college or a university that is owned by the U.S. political system is telling you how you should feel on certain situations. That to me just is like an absolute disaster. You know what I mean? It's I'm not overly religious, but me personally, I'm going to go talk to the old guy in the street or the old pastor that has lived through it. You know, maybe not so much a pastor. I mean, it depends on what kind of pastor. If you have like a more progressive, generalized Christian pastor, maybe. But if you go talk to like a Catholic priest or something that's pretty old, he, honestly, he probably has no life experience because he's been a priest forever.
Right, that's true.
Most of them hadn't even, you know. You know.
It's a good thing you're blurred. So, you know, another thing that I've realized that, like you said, with all these people going to therapy, like I grew up, if I had a problem, I would talk to my buddy. I'd be like, hey, you know, I'm having this issue. Oh, come on. Really? Is it that bad? Well, for me, it is. Let me tell you. Tell me if I'm overreacting. And I would talk about it. And they'd be like, you know, you need to get rid of that skirt you're wearing and just kind of.
Yeah.
Go do this, or you know, the old
be gay.
Yeah, I mean, it's the old boys, and again, this was back in the 90s, so I'm kind of an old dad, is the best way people would look at it, because I had kids, young kids, like I have a 2-year-old and a 6-year-old, and I'm 45 now. So the fact is for me, you talk to your friends, and this, when I was growing up, is way before social media. Now I go across the street to my neighbor, who ironically has the same first name as my best friend growing up. And I sit down with him and I'm like, hey, you know, how's things going? And we'll open either a bottle of homemade wine that I made or homemade cider that I made or whatever homemade alcoholic beverage I made, because you have to have hobbies. And, you know, as long as I'm not selling it, it's not illegal. So I can give it away to family. And technically they're my kids' uncles and aunts. So depends on how you look at it.
Yep.
In case anybody's paying attention to this, that I need to worry about.
Well, I think beer and wine, well, non-distilled alcohol, isn't essentially illegal. I think there's state by state laws, but distilled alcohol is federally banned unless you have a distiller's license. Right.
Well, so here's the thing, just off topic for anybody that does homemade wine or alcohol, you are allowed to distribute it to family.
Right.
You're not allowed to sell it. You're not allowed to gift it. And it's supposed to be for personal use only.
Well, vote for Trump, then all tips are going to be tax-free. So literally everything can be a tip.
Well, not alcohol.
Just tip me $1,000. I don't understand.
Homemade alcohol is, trust me, if I could get my company to tip me and not be taxed, I will honestly say, taxation is theft. And
you know, technically speaking, not that I'm giving financial advice to anybody,
please don't give financial advice.
Technically speaking, there is no such thing as a law that says you owe taxes on your income from a company. So the reason you pay income tax is because the company owes income tax, because there's what's called corporate income tax. So essentially, you aren't paying income tax on your income. You are paying income tax on the company's income tax, you are just essentially paying a small percentage on based on the little bit that you made. So your company is paying you, so you can pay them. Yeah, you're essentially paying for your company's tax bill.
Yeah, but the other flip side of that, because I've looked into it as well, and
they won't hire you.
It's say if they put you on a 1099, right? You're footing the full tax bill there. So
yeah.
You're either letting them take half the burden and you take the other half, or you take the full burden.
Right.
You know, now let's get away from alcohol laws and tax burdens and things like that and get right back to talking about the fact of, I think social media is the fact of no one really sits down and talks to real people anymore and discusses their problems. And I think that now think of it this way. I had a conversation with my best friend growing up years and years ago, right? And we were having a couple beers, and he goes, Eric, I can't tell you. I don't know how all these people do it. You look at them on Facebook. They have such these great lives. They have all this stuff. Yeah. And he's going off, and I go, you know what? Here's the thing is, you look at what they're saying. Oh, perfect life. I'm doing this. I'm like, well, you're always going to have, and I believe this has become even more of a thing now, where very few people is going to be honest about their lives of what's going on. Me, I figured if I'm honest with what I'm doing, with how I live, my mistakes, my successes, whatsoever, people can learn from them, and I can learn from them by talking about them. But the fact is you look at social media, and I think Mr. Pancake and I have discussed this before, where you look at like these gentle parenting videos where it starts where the parent's kneeling down and gently talking to the kid and saying, it's okay, I understand your feelings. The fact is it doesn't show you a few minutes before that where the kid is screaming and the mother's yelling flailing at the father and saying, why don't you do something? And the father's yelling, what do you want me to do? I'm not allowed to yell at this kid. I can only yell at you and blah, blah, blah. And that whole fiasco that happens. Mm-hmm. And then she goes, okay, now we got her calmed down. I have to get this posted on social media. So record me being gentle and loving and all this.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see the mess that's really behind the post.
Right.
You don't see the mistakes and the problems and the errors and the, oh my God, what am I doing moments.
Mm-hmm.
And I think social media has people so stressed out about, I need to be perfect. I need to be this. I need to be the perfect dad. I can't yell at my kid. I need my kid to be my friend. And I've wrote an article and posted it like 30 times, and I'll probably post it not 100 times, because you are not your kid's friends. You are your kid's parents. That is much higher than a kid, than a friend. But that's me going on a whole different rant, and I won't do that here.
Yeah, we have all these. I think we have all these tools for communication in the modern era. You know, we have Discord and social media and text messaging, text message groups, yada, yada.
Yeah.
And at the same time, we have all these tools for communication, and communication's been at like an all-time low, I would say, as far as how honest people are like using. I mean, because at the end of the day, you can really only be, I think, your honest self when you have a face-to-face meeting. And maybe a video call might be a close thing to that. But in person, cracking some brewskis is probably like my ideal way to have like a real talk with people. But you know, people here's one that really irks me. People will say, oh, I saw that. Yes, like you're going to tell somebody something you've been doing in your life, like, oh yeah, I saw that on Facebook, oh yeah, I saw that on social media. I push that stuff so far away, because I don't want you to follow my life through Facebook. I want you to call or text me or come to my house and share a moment with me, and not like follow me along on social media. We have all these tools to communicate, and we don't use them. I mean, and I think part of that is that they're not really designed to. The engagement isn't there for like honest conversations. The engagement's there for pretty pictures and pretty women and you know, so that's my spiel on it.
I mean, I heard some something, you know, obviously I saw it on the internet, on social media, you know, but it kind of made me like set back and think a little bit about some of that stuff. Like a lot of people, used to be more connected to their neighbors, their friends and family and stuff like that, you know, more community related. Now, like you said, most people are separated. Not many people have too many neighbor friends like, hey, and that's the end of it, you know, as far as I'm concerned. But so, something I saw, it you said you should normalize sticking around with your parents, you know, after you're 18. And I was like, well, I don't want to be that creep that just lives in my mom's basement. You know what I mean? So there's two different types of people that do that. There's the creep that lives in his mom's basement. And then there's like, you think about it in terms of like old Italian families or old school families from like, you know, Mid-Eastern Europe and stuff like that, where, you know, yeah, they had like a household, like a big one, you know, everybody pulled their weight, you know, the kids still lived with the parents, the old parents, you know, at some point, the parent in the middle kind of takes authority of the household, where the older parents had the younger ones, and then eventually they got old, these ones turned into adults, had kids of their own, and it just keeps continuously cycling. But you essentially have this support system of an entire family, you know, of, you know, grandparents, parents, family, brothers, sisters, whatever else. You don't all need to live obviously in the same house, but maybe you can have a piece of property that has more than one. Obviously not everyone can do that. That's, you know, you can't do that in New York City. It's weird, but you know, it's just years ago, it used to be a little bit more normalized. Now people, you know, I mean, let's be honest, there's like a massive housing boom, you know, in the last 40 years, because the last 40, 50 years ago, people actually did stuff like that. Whereas today, the moment you're 18, you're like, gone, later.
Yeah, single family households. Like everybody wants to.
So there's just multiple households. And now the housing industry, I mean, they probably did it on purpose. You know, the housing industry went from one household for like three full families or two full families to three individual households for individual families. You know what I mean? And then on top of that, now they're trying to push for, well, they have been for last also 50 years, you know, the man and the woman working, separating them. And then they're pushing all this, you know, feminist ideologies on women, thinking they need to have more of this and more of that. And the man needs to equal this and equal that, which, you know, they don't need to be equal in what they do. They need to be equal in how they treat each other. And they change that stuff, and that is ultimately taking the individual family. And so now you went from one taxable income and one household to two. You know what I mean? So now the government and all these people are getting more. They're just doubling everything. So they tripled everything, and then they doubled it. So
I'm a big fan of like Sunday dinners. You know, I guess the ship sailed for me to live with my
right.
folks, but like
yeah,
like,
me too.
You know, having like consistently, you know, I mean, not moving far enough away that you can't like visit like on a right. weekly basis or even more often. Right.
Yeah. And that would be my goal. That would be awesome for me, would be able to, I mean, convince my wife to allow me to buy like 10 acres, you know, and when my daughter's old enough, you know, cut it in half and have her on the other five and I'm on those five, you know, with her family. That would be like, for me, that would be a life dream. Will that happen? Probably not. My wife has it stuck in her mind that she has to live on the beach.
Well, my wife is in the ocean, so I'm safe from that.
I was going to say, does your wife need a good beach or any beach? Because, you know, some lakes have a nice beach area.
Yeah, the beach we live on is like crystalline, pure white sand. The water is like pure crystal clear with a light blue hint, you know, all the images you see and all the fancy, you know, cool internet stuff where they take pictures of, you know, tropical beaches where it's like you dream to go there. And that's where we live. And we
I was live. Gonna say, what's your wife's social media account where she's posting all these like pictures?
Oh, she doesn't
beach?
Have one. Yeah. Yeah. But both me and her both have, no personal social media accounts, really. Mm. I have a personal Facebook, but it's not my name and not my image, and there's no information on it. It's actually an AI image. It's just some random dude with a beard.
Nice.
and it's got no background. And honestly, I've never posted on it before. I've never even been on it before. I use it as a host for Facebook Messenger because I Facebook message my grandparents and my dad. So we do the video chat with my daughter like all the time because they live in South Florida. I live all the way up north in North Florida. So in order to continue communication, we communicate using Facebook video, you know, Messenger. And I mean, Facebook, for the communists they are, they built a good video platform. So it's like one of the best. So it's right. Easiest too. So I use it, but that's literally the only reason. Other than that, all of my social media is Pancakes With Your Dad.
So I have social.
There's some good pancakes too.
I have
Make some... me hungry.
Weirdly enough, that's how I ended up getting connected with him, was because of the pancakes and all this through social media on Truth Social. And then and then we kind of moved it over to all different, at least Call With Dads, to all these different formats. But the one, and I'm probably the only reason I have Facebook personal account is so I can start up the different other account pages I need, or buy something from Marketplace, whatever it is.
Right.
I couldn't tell you the last time I replied or done anything on my personal social medias for anything. Right. So if you're trying to follow me on social media, I'm sorry, I'm going to be a very, very boring person. Call With Dads, you're going to get more interaction. But the one thing that also is, like you said, the Sunday dinners that I used to do, and I wish I could still do it, but my family's all back in Ohio. I'm here in Virginia. An 8-hour drive makes a heck of a drive to go have Sunday dinner. But a lot of things that we do is, thanks to technology, my kids get to see their grandmother literally daily, because my son has a watch that he can do 3-minute video calls, or they have my phone where they can call and do video calls with my brother or my mom and talk with them and all this stuff. And it's great. And, you know, that's kind of, I think, is another thing missing, is that family connection. Because, you know, as much as I'd like to say I am all about keeping that family connection, I'm not even perfect. I couldn't tell you anything about my biological father, where he lives or what he does now. But I do have that sense of family because of my mom and my stepdad when he was alive, and my grandma, who, even my grandpa, who was just a grumpy old man that had a junkyard, and for some reason I was the only one he tended to be nice to in the family on occasions. And, you know, it's just kind of that thing that you learn family does mean something. And even though we don't always get to have that perfect Sunday brunch or that morning pancakes, I want my kids to, like, I make pancakes and make waffles or whatever comes to mind, and to also build that connection, so that my hope is that my kids will feel that connection with me even as they grow. And they're like, oh, Dad, I don't have time for pancakes. Or my daughter says, well, Dad, can you make me gluten-free, sugar-free, blah-free, and whatever-free pancake? I'm going to say, sure. Here's your milk. Here's your flour. Go away. But the fact is I want them to feel that connection still to me, even after they stop wanting my pancakes that I make or whatever it is I'm doing that I started a little tradition of. The fact of traditions, the breakfasts, the dinners, the getting together, living in the house together. I wish I could have lived with my mom longer, or I honestly could say that my mom and I, as much as I love her, we would kill each other if we lived together. We have definitely different personalities, and we've become much closer since we don't live together. And I think that's another thing that I'm not thinking it's a great idea for people to live with their parents. Maybe I'm not saying jump out of the house when you're 18, but you know, maybe 20, 21, you're at that age, get out, do something, but stay connected with your family one way or another, so that you have that reminder of, I'm not perfect. Because trust me, if anyone's going to tell you about your mistakes, it's going to be your family. because I swear my mom still loves telling stories of stupid things I did as a teenager that I don't even remember. So,
yeah. Oh, my grandma calls me an a-hole almost every week. I'm like, all right, I don't get mad because it's true. So,
yeah, I do think that is one, the one thing that people do use communication tools for in a good way is probably connecting with at least their older family. Mm-hmm. Here's one for you guys. Yeah. I just celebrated my birthday. Had a little barbecue this past Saturday.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, thank you.
Happy 33rd.
Yes. My cousin, he's 27. He comes up and tells me that it's kind of like whatever conversation was going, but he tells me that he's thinking about getting a vasectomy because he doesn't want to have kids and he's 27 years old. So what do you guys think of that? Like the push for people not into having kids
I'm going to take this just strictly because I have personal experience with this and not in the way you might be thinking. When I was in my, I have not had one. So, but when I was in my 20s, I literally tried to have a vasectomy. I went to 3 different doctors and all 3 told me no, said that either my wife and I wasn't married had to sign off on it, or I had to have 2 kids already. And that was kind of the standard back then. Now I don't think they're so stringent about that now. But back then, they were very much, and this, again, was 20-some years ago. So I can honestly say that if a doctor would have done that for me, or if that would have happened, I would have missed out on so much in my life. So my kids are literally the driving factor of a lot of stuff I do. Mr. Pancake and I are working on a concept now that will hopefully help people and help homeschoolers, help people grow businesses, things like this. And the thought behind it came because of me having kids. The drive to do better, like before I had kids, I wanted to have my own business. I made some, I failed, I did all this stuff. I tried my best, but I didn't really have that. Like, I have to succeed because of it was, mm-hmm. I want to succeed. So there's the simple fact of when you have kids, and I've heard this before many different ways, and I think it's Dennis Prager that I parrot this from, but when you get married, you become an adult. When you have kids, you become a man. Because when you get married, you have somebody else that you have to be responsible for. You have to think of somebody else's, and you can't just walk out. You can't just say, I'm done, all this. When you have kids, you truly have responsibilities. And for a father who takes that step, it transforms you from being just a guy or a man child or whatever it is. Sadly enough, I've seen plenty of guys that refuse to become men when they have kids.
Yeah. But, still man child.
Yeah, still man child. But the fact is if you take being a father seriously, and I believe most dads do, I believe that these man childs that you see are a select few that just shine brighter than fathers like us because they're the loudest, they're the stupidest looking, they're the people that you sit there and go, how do you let your kids get away with not having any respect, not knowing how to be in public, et cetera, et cetera? Because you're not going to sit there and go, wow, those kids are well behaved. What a great family. No, you're like, oh, that's a nice looking family. Oh, look at that disaster of a family. And you focus on them. So the fact is most men, once they have kids and they step up to be the man that they're meant to be. And I'm not saying you're only going to become a true man when you have a kid, but it does transform you into a true man to want better, to want more. When I got married, instantly I had something to work harder for. And I succeeded quite a bit. Once I had my first kid, my son, I worked harder. I pushed harder. I thought a bit more. I thought about what I could do for the family. My mindset went to trying to create a better life. And if, like I said, if those doctors, if any of those 3 doctors would have said, yeah, you have cash, come on in, sit down, I'll take care of it right now, my life would have been completely different. And, you know, the fact is, there's a good chance I'd be in my 40s drinking, still smoking cigarettes, maybe smoking weed, doing God knows what, being irresponsible, just trying to fill whatever empty need I need, blah, 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 without having that attachment. You don't know what true love is, because even my daughter, she'll throw a fit. I'll smack her butt. She'll look at me, then have me pick her up. I mean, and she'll give me a hug and all this stuff. That there's nothing in this world that I can think of that equates to that. My son, like, no one's going to see it because I edited it out, obviously. But when my son walked in looking for his beetle terrarium that he created, or cage, or whatever it is, you know, I get to spend time with him, and I have a connection with him that is unlike anything else I have. There's a powerful thing about kids, and I think a dad has that. A dad knows what true connection is once he steps up. And you said your cousin, right?
Mm-hmm.
If anything, when I send you this, let your cousin listen to that, because, you know, if that would have probably been my biggest mistake in my life, if that would have happened.
Yeah. I think about it too, like all these, like we'll say gurus or anybody's like, oh, you need to go out, like start businesses, make money, do all this stuff before you have kids. Because once you have kids, you're not going to have time or energy. Mm-hmm. And you know, there is a point to that. But I think that having kids can be a superpower if you want it to be endless amounts of willpower. If you're the type, like if you're the man that will step up to the plate, if you're the man that will that will dig deep and be that providing force for your family. For me, I feel like it's been like a source of a drive that I didn't even know that I had in me. And not that I didn't have like that entrepreneurial spirit or like the drive to, you know, go out and do things like write a book. It was like, this is it. I'm going to do that. Like in my free time, this is what I'm going to do instead of playing video games, instead of going out to bars, instead of even like going golfing, whatever. I mean, other things that I enjoy doing. I'm like, I'm going to sit down and spend time working on something that's going to better my family, my life. So yeah, it really shocked me that my cousin would say something like that, because a couple of years ago it seemed like he wanted to, like have kids, like he was excited to become an adult and have kids and stuff. And it's like something's flipped the script, I guess. So
yeah, it sounds to me like he's maybe, I mean, I don't know, obviously, but maybe he's having like relationship issues. You know what I mean? Where he's just kind of down in the slumps and thinking negatively. You know, maybe I should just give up and cut loose. You know, I don't know. To me, at that age, that's quite young to be just saying, oh, never again. I mean, they do have the ability to reverse it nowadays, but still, it's still not 100%. I mean, I personally would just, he needs to hold off, you know, try and figure out more. And if he gets a little bit older, then obviously, yeah, if that's what he wants to do, fine. But, you know, I thought the same way when I was younger, because, I mean, I chased girls and did all that stuff, and I was like, I don't ever want to have kids, so maybe if I just shut it down now and I can do whatever I want, I don't have to worry about it, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it was a good choice to not do it, because, I mean, yeah, it was same as, you know, Eric there made the same point, you know, when as soon as I had a kid, my whole life changed. Everything about it changed. You know, the whole, my drive to be better, to be a man, to be stronger, smarter, you know, read more, learn more, everything just went skyrocketed through the roof. You know, I was a grunt, a fighter, you know. You know, I'd spent a lot of years in the military hurting people. You know, that was literally my life. And I never thought I could build a website ever. You know, Eric showed me a few things, taught me this, taught me that. And then I just went from there, and I got in reading and I learning and YouTubing and stuff like that. And I learned a lot of stuff on my own. You know, I didn't think I could do that, but now I know how to do that. So that kind of stuff just, I think, is something that would have never happened, you know, based on that. But I mean, there are statistics out there about men. I guess there's one about men's prefrontal cortex. When you have a kid, it's somewhere within like the first 6 months after they're born, Because it starts during pregnancy, and then like within the first 6 months after they're born, your prefrontal cortex adjusts and develops this drive and need to be better and, I guess, slightly more nurturing in a man way, I guess. So, you know, men don't nurture by going, oh, we love you. We nurture by working harder and providing more. So it kind of, I guess it's a real thing. I guess your prefrontal cortex, it changes when you have your first kid a little bit to do that. So that could be the reason why it happens. Stuff like that happens to men. As soon as you have a kid, you change your life and it become totally different.
So. There's so much delayed gratification with having kids too. You put in like work, you put in so much work, like years. I mean, and you even, I mean, you get, you know, they get a little bit of a personality, kids do. And you get, you know, the cuddles and all that stuff and the laughs and as they get older, you know, they get the attitude and stuff. You get to see like little bits and pieces of the person they're going to be, but you're not, you don't know until they're an adult. Yeah. So you put all this work in up front to make them a better version of yourself or of you and your, of you and your spouse, you know?
I've been teaching you to tie your shoes for 6 weeks now.
We're working on using the big girl potty with my daughter right now. So that's been, we've been working on that for, it's been a while. But yeah, so it's, you know, sometimes she's into it, sometimes she's not. So, but I just think that, I think that maybe even having kids shows men that we can do more than what we're, that we, than what we thought we were capable of. Cause like you said, like you were in the military, that is like the exact opposite of nurturing and raising a child, you know, like, you know, I don't want to say like being in the military is destroying, but we'll say that that's like destructive energy and raising a child is creative energy, you know, that shows you, you have the power to create and nurture and build something. And I think if you can kind of send that out into other facets of your life, then you'll have a great experience with parenthood, with being a father.
My goal in life is to spend the rest of my life just getting God to forgive me for what I've done.
See, as a guy with a daughter myself, I literally sit there and think, please don't let her date a guy like I was when I was young. Because I can at least tell her, hey, listen, when I was young, Daddy was a bad boy. Daddy was not.
I'm saying teach your mistakes, dude.
Exactly. And, you know, that's the thing is, getting back on that is, we've all made mistakes. And if we can, if you don't push it aside and you face your mistakes and you learn from them, like you talk about, we can use those to our benefits, especially as dads. Because, you know, I hear lots of people, and I even joke around when my daughter dates, I'm bringing my brother in who's 6'5", 6'7", big husky guy, and very proud to be called a redneck. So, but in all truth, my brother's the type of guy that would give you the shirt off his back if you needed it. He does a lot of volunteer stuff. He's a good guy, but he loves hunting. He's, if you saw him in the shadows and all this, you'd kind of be like, should I go the other way? Should I walk another mile that way to avoid that big, scary guy? You know what I mean? But the fact is I think a better tool than sitting there with either cleaning a gun, as some people joke about, or having the big scary uncle or whatever, is to sit there and talk to your daughter and say, you know, I'll tell you what, when I was younger, this is what I was like. This is the people I knew was like. I saw people that were good. There are some guys that do care about having long-term relationships, but a lot of guys, especially young teenage boys full of hormones and crazy thoughts, aren't really thinking about, well, do I want to marry this girl, or do I want to have a long life with this girl? It's, can I have, can I get her in bed by the end of the night, or can I get a kiss, or can I get all these things? And I think that's going to be a more powerful tool for me with my daughter, and also being able to teach her, hey, you can talk to your daddy about these things in reason. There's things I definitely don't want to hear, but in reason, she can talk to me and I can help her deal with this stuff. I think that's a much better tool than threatening the boy she's dating or scaring him. Or, I mean, yeah, as a dad, it's a fun thought. He comes in, I'm cleaning my gun, and
that's just the remember, stereotype, right?
Yeah. Anything you do to her, I do to you, you know, that, That whole, yeah.
Even it's a, rape?
Yeah. What?
Even rape?
That would be a whole different thing, but the fact is there's a whole lot.
You guys had Jody, the Why Gary Why
yes.
on recently.
Yes.
Yeah. That's yeah, he's a good dude. He's pretty cool.
Yeah, he was. I really enjoyed that episode. That was really good.
Yeah, he was a fun person to talk with. And, you know, there's a lot, there's definitely a lot to learn from him. And, I mean, even listening to him, I mean, I'd say the mistakes he made with saying, oh, well, it was an accident, or he needed a place to put his hand, or he did this, and one thing led to another. And you, anyone that either listened to the story or knows the story of Gary Pelosi and Geody was...
Ploche.
He says everyone messes it up. So, and obviously I'm no exception there, but the fact is I mess up my own names at times. So the fact is there's a lot of mistakes that happen that we need to face and deal with. And even when you're not looking to try to learn from mistakes, as you said, the Jody episode, there's a lot of things that he was told and he knew was a mistake or was a problem. And looking back, you can say, wow. And you can learn from his mistakes that he's out there telling people about it and try to talk to your kids or do this and that. But, yeah, that was kind of – reading his book was rough. I mean, and here's the fact is it wasn't rough as in, oh, man. It was from a father's perspective listening or reading his book because I did the PDF. I have an app that reads PDFs. So I listened to it and all this because I think if I physically read the book, I'd be putting it down and saying, nope, I'm done. Yucky. And there's a lot there that I'm definitely talking to my kids, not in general, but if somebody comes up to you and says that they know mommy or daddy, what do? He says, punch him in the nuts and walk away. Like, yes. So, and... You know, I joked around about I was just starting my kid in karate class, and he's like, I'm like, but luckily we don't even know the karate teacher's name, which I mean, sensei something as far as I know, but
sensei,
yeah, basically, yes, sensei. All right, sensei. The other guy is master sensei, I guess. But the fact is, you know, there's listening to that and understanding. That, yeah, you need to pay attention to all these different things and all these different factors. And there's people know who you can talk to. And I think I'm kind of re-illustrating the things we've talked about through this, but like therapists are definitely not always the best people. And I'm not saying no one should get therapy because if you get the right therapist, I'm imagining they can help. But therapists are taught to be able to have clients. They're taught to expand and have the easier clients stay around with them.
The business.
Yeah. One thing that like we try to promote here on Call with Dads is community. Find dads, find people to talk to, even if it's online in a Discord group or in a little private Facebook group or your church or whatever. If you just sit down and talk to the homeless guy on the side of the street, as long as he's not talking to himself while you're trying to talk to him, go for it. Mm-hmm. But the fact is find somebody that you can talk to, trust, and kind of start building that community with. Me, I have my neighbor. I have some people that I know. I have this show. I have a lot of ways to vent and be able to get my mind cleared from what I think. A lot of dads don't have this, obviously. I mean, it's not hard to start a podcast, but it does take a certain personality to do this kind of stuff. And the fact is what dad, men, all together, even women, mothers, and all people need to do is focus on trying to find that community and not worry about social media, what they think about you, and talk to somebody about your mistakes. Figure out how to be better from it. It's one of the things that I've always said, be better so they're better. And that is an honest thought that I've had for a long time. So, I mean, I don't know where else to go with this. I could probably rant for quite some time because my mind's going in about 30 other places. So you have any other thoughts?
No, I think that's pretty succinct. I think that's a a good place to. I wanted to bring up Jody just because that episode you guys did with him was really, it was a really interesting dichotomy of the whole, like, if somebody did something to my kids, I would do X kind of thing, you know? And I don't think there's a right or wrong answer for that, you know?
That's a gray area.
Yeah.
Because in my mind, I'm going to stab you in the neck.
Yeah.
Slowly peel your skin over your face, pull your head off, and then put it on a stick on my front lawn, you know, and then maybe use your body parts as plant food and for the next 6 months. That's just my mindset. That's where we go from there. But see, then you hear his story.
Yeah.
Then you listen to that information. It makes you go, wait a second. You know, maybe that's not how I should think about it. You know what I mean?
Just the big picture. Your kids do need you. I mean, that's for sure.
Right.
So
they do, but you know, if you happen to know a farmer that has pigs, just so you know, if you throw a body in a slop bin, pigs do eat.
Hey, I'm from South Florida, man. We got the Everglades down there. There's some alligators.
I think you might be all right if you were in Texas or something.
Oh yeah, there was a case just recently, I think, where a guy killed a guy that molested his kid, and they said, well, there's no real evidence because they smudged it, and the police literally intentionally botched the, so they're like, well, he's free. I don't even think it went past the do you want to press charges. They're like, no, we're good.
Just be smart about it.
Yeah. So listen to the episode, make your own decision. Yeah, it was an interesting contradiction of what you originally think versus, because my first thought was is string them up, find a no dig zone where there's no digging for 100 years, and then you know, I can come up with 1,000 ideas after that. But there's also, like, cool, you said,
chlorine and stuff.
Trust me, I've written three books about killing, robbing, and drug deals. I can come up with creative ways to inflict something. So the fact is like Trent says, your kids do need you. Your family does need you. Not every place is going to be as lenient to say, you know, that's one less child pedophile. You're good to go. Do you want a beer? You know, not every place is going to do that. But with that, I mean, it really is. I mean, I'm not saying right or wrong, but I'm not promoting killing or whatsoever. But the less there are pedophiles, the better the world is. I do agree with that theory. And I will not argue with anyone that has ideas of how to achieve that. But the fact is, as it said, your family does need you, so you need to think about what you do in life. Plus, remember, a lot of pedophiles don't make it very far in prison.
Yeah.
And if I couldn't kill the guy, then I would be writing a letter to every person in that prison convicted of murder and all this stuff, saying, hey, this guy, and send a picture of him, is a pedophile. He did this to my kid.
Right.
I will send you a carton of cigarettes. Just to say thank you. Whatever you choose to do.
And he has a nice butt. He's also gay.
Oh, I'll let them go through.
He can pick up soap like no one else.
There you go. So, I mean, there are worse things than dying. I mean, even Jody said that the one thing he felt bad about was that the guy, Jeff was the guy's name. Mm-hmm. It ended for him. He didn't have to do any of the punishment, any of the dealings. Right. And, you know, that was the only thing that made me think about, would I not do it? Because he is right. Now, mind you, religiously, my thought would be, he's in hell, he's burning, all this. But on the same note, he's only paying for one family's punishment. That guy committed that sin on many other kids and was not punished for any of it. So, and I think prisons should encourage special treatment with the inmates and pedophiles. I think that would be a fantastic. Most wardens would probably get promoted if they do things like that. Personally thought. Or they could.
For those listening at home, this is what fatherhood does to us. We think long and hard about how we'll hurt how anybody that hurts our kids.
Well, yeah. See, that's the thing is, and that, you know, it's been stuck in my mind recently about how a lot of men are starting to become a little more soft. We'll say it that way. And I don't mean like my belly soft. I mean like just, oh, well.
Sissies.
Yeah, basically. And you'd have all these guys that are, oh, well, my kids this, and I don't want to hurt their feelings, and I want this, and I need to follow this kind of mindset. Yeah. For me, it's somebody touches my kid, I am going to either make them so they can't walk. I might spend a night in jail, but I'm going to address the issue the best way I can. And yeah, most men that still have their testosterone to them is going to sit there and think, you know, what would I do? Because every guy is going to sit there and think several things. You know, like there's a meme or a joke I see quite a bit about men only wanting a few things in life, going on a crusade, having a family, and having property out in the middle of nowhere away from society. That's a big thing I'm seeing now. And I mean, for men, for dads, a lot of that crusade mindset is you are the warrior protecting your kids. You are the guard dog to your home. You are that lion that's going to rip any other intruder apart that tries to come into your territory. And that's nature. I mean, in all truth, you look at people say, oh, well, nature, you need to be more like nature. Well, fine. Look at animals. If you want to compare us to animals, and I don't believe this, I don't compare humans to animals, but animalistic nature. You have somebody tried to, in apes, lions, any apex animal, predator, whatever you want to call them, if you have, and I know this because my son is very much into animals and zoology and what have you, so you have an intruder come in. They will get tore apart by the pack, by the leader, and if they don't submit right away and show that they're no threat to the family unit, if they show they're a threat, they're dead. They're torn apart. They're beaten to the point that they don't survive outside in society or in the wild for very long. Men are the protectors of the house. Men need to learn or need to relearn that we are not just going to sit back. And I mean, it's that whole thought of turn the other cheek. Well, there's a sense that you turn the other cheek at certain times. Other times, like the Bible says, there's a time to fight and then there's a time to forgive. You come into my house and I'm going to show you how quickly I fight. Once you're being dragged out, I will forgive you for making that mistake. Because, and I might even talk to you about your mistake. But the fact is fathers should think about that. Fathers should be the ones sitting there going, you know, lime, pigs, crocodiles, Texas, there's wild hogs. I mean, there's a whole slew of things. Trust me, I've thought about all 50 states. I've traveled many states, so I have thought about different scenarios just because I'm a dad. And the fact is I even thought about my half acre of land I have is, you know, what could I do here? I do have some pretty tall trees. I could probably drag it up there, let the birds and the crows eat it. And I'm sure in due time, you know, it's put a ghillie suit underneath of it so nobody sees the bottom. Now, not that I'm saying I would ever do that. So if any police officers listening, please don't look me up. There's nothing in my trees. But the fact is, yes, we think about it because we want to make sure that we have that thought. It's like any good general. You have a battle plan for the possible battle. You might hope that you never have to do that battle. But on the same note, if you have to go into fight or to protect or go into war, you want to have an idea of what you're going in and going to do. So my personal rant.
Speak softly, carry a big stick. That's Teddy Roosevelt, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Speak softly, carry a big stick.
Right.
So yeah, this is what fatherhood does to us. I would just say if there's any fathers out there that are new to fatherhood or maybe learning or wanting to become fathers, have a kid on the way, you know, I would just say make mistakes, learn from them, and then post about it online. so we can all either point and laugh or learn from it ourselves.
There you go. So Trent, sure. let's do this. Let's wrap this up a bit, and I'm sure we'll figure out a time for you to come back on again, because for some reason I do enjoy having repeat guests because it just makes it so much funner. Mm-hmm. So with that being said, where do people find you, find your book, and if they want to reach out and ask questions, where do you want them to go?
Yeah, so follow me on Twitter or X at Trenton F. Cole. I have a link in my bio there to join my newsletter. Go ahead and get on that so I can send you some mail. I sent one out last night for my birthday, and I think people seem to enjoy that. So, and then my book will be on Amazon this Friday, August the 2nd. It'll be both available in Kindle and paperback.
Very nice. Mr. Pancake?
Awesome.
The usual, the best place, obviously, is the main website, pancakeswithyourdad.com. We do have all of our socials. I got LinkedIn, Facebook. Finally got my Instagram back. It's not the same one. It's a new one. You know, the old Instagram got dumped. It's long gone. So new Instagram. And then True Social and X, of course. I'm active on all of them. Those are all perfectly good places. I think you do have to follow me in order to be able to message me. But, yeah, I mean, that's kind of the point anyway. So definitely check out the website. We do have some pretty cool merch. All of the merchandise and all of the cool shirts and mugs and shenanigans that we do sell in there is all geared towards dads. But all of the proceeds and profits that we get all goes directly into our programs and anything we do here. We use it to try and help fight fatherlessness as best as possible in America. Obviously, we're not from overseas, but we don't really take any profits from anything we make and haven't yet to this day. So just so you understand that, plenty of places on my website to go see. Check out the free woodworking plans. You can download them all for free. I even give you the website of where I got them from and the people who kind of sponsored it. So check all that out.
And then, of course, Call with Dads, right where you're listening to it now, obviously, and YouTube, Rumble, about any place that you want to find it for audio, it's there. If you can't find it in your audio player, let me know. I'll either show you where it's at or I'll make sure it's up there very quickly. Other than that, go to our website, callwithdads.com. You see it in my bio here. You'll see it in the show notes, all these things. We're working on a lot of stuff, having more guests on like Trent. You can find his book. I'll have the show notes with his links in it so you can find his book. I'll even find it on Amazon and post it there for you so you can be quick about it, because you should buy books from people that are on here because you want to know what they really think and if they are good at what they're saying. So buy their books. But with that, the fact is you need to reach out to us. Let us know anything you want to hear us discuss about or what so have you. Join Call with Dad's newsletter. We send it out either on the first or the second of every month, depending on my schedule. And we try to get you everything that you need. So with that, we appreciate y'all being here. You hold just basically either listen to another episode or come back for our next one. Subscribe so that you can not miss anything. Other than that, I'm going to have Trent hold on. And this is the end for everybody else. So thank you.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
Thanks, guys.